What is up, everyone, everyone, everyone? It is another day, another time, and another week for Real Talk Monday. You all, we are excited. We have another great topic planned for you all on tonight. We have a family member of the show on here with us tonight. She is not a guest. As much as she is in the comments, she is not a guest. She is a family member of the show. On here with us tonight, and we have my sister, Miss Tempest, in the building with us tonight. So, you all, y'all know how we always start off Real Talk Monday. It would not be Real Talk Monday if we did not start it off with a little bit of the theme song. And then after that, we'll let Miss Tempest lead us in prayer on tonight, and then we'll jump right into the topic. I'll let Tempest introduce the topic after that and introduce our guest. What is up, y'all? It is another day, another time, and another week for Real Talk Monday.
Hey, everyone. I think this is two Mondays in a row, James. You done got me praying now, hunty.
Now, one time I got you in a meeting to pray. I've never had to do it on a Monday night. So,
Are we sure?
Yes, I'm positive. I had Daisy do it last week. But okay. Yeah, it's on you.
Okay, so let's take a moment and bow our heads. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for waking us up to see another day. Father God, I ask that as we enter into this moment of podcasting with the wonderful topic, that you would guide us and lead us, give us words and a voice that will spill out grace and love. I pray that we will continue to be peacekeepers in our minds and our hearts, and that you will continue to bless us and all those who are listening and watching. I ask for our extra protection over our family and friends that are near and far, adult children, young children that are experiencing all of the things that life brings towards them. The Lord, keep us safe and in your care, and in your son Jesus' name, we pray always and forever. Amen.
Amen, amen, amen. So, Tevin said, let's tell them what we're talking about on tonight. But first, let's introduce our family member. Let's introduce her.
Okay, so tonight we have one of my closest, bestest friends, Miss Crystal. She is here from Indianapolis, Indiana. She's going to join us today. I thought Crystal would be a great candidate for this topic because she has children from young adult to 9 years old. So all the while, it's not maybe an extreme gap. It's a big enough gap to where maybe she has grown and learned and seen things and experienced things that maybe some of us haven't, depending on the age of our children. So, and plus she's just a really intelligent woman. So, this is Miss Crystal.
Thank you for having me tonight. I appreciate the opportunity to be on this platform with you guys to speak about parenting views.
Yes. You are very welcome. So, as you guys probably have figured out, we are going to talk about views on parenting. So, we definitely have a lot. We have about 11 questions. We may or may not get through them. Please feel free to interact with us through the chat. If you have questions, thoughts, ideas, just whatever, or your perspective, we want to hear. We want to, know what everybody says. And remember, these are our experiences and our understandings and our perspectives, right? Everybody has their own way and reason. And if that is what works for you and your family, then shoot for the stars. So I guess we can get started. Y'all ready?
Yes.
So our first question is, the first few questions are kind of maybe general questions. And the first one is, what were your first thoughts when you heard you were going to be a parent? So, Crystal, I'm going to let you, I'm going to do you like everybody does me. I'm going to let you answer first.
She has picked on quick. I see.
I see how it is. You want to pick on the newbie, okay?
just a little bit.
Oh my goodness. So the first time that I found out I was going to be a parent, I was 20 years old. I was in a relationship, but I was not married, and I was still in college. And so my first thought was I was scared. I knew nothing about, you know, taking care of children, and I did not think I was going to be a good mom. So just being transparent, those were my first thoughts. You know, many people plan their pregnancies or, you know, are somewhat stable. I was a broke college student. There was really not anything joyous about it, but you know, once he arrived, the moment that I saw him, all of that changed. And got home, and his dad put him on that bed and didn't even take him out the car seat and said, "Hey, I got to run. I got to go make some runs." And I'm like, "Wait a minute, you leaving me here with this baby by myself?" All right. And motherly instincts just kicked right in. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So.
Okay. So when I found out I was pregnant, I had been having some pains. Didn't have insurance at the time because I was working for my mom at the childcare program, and just was using the bathroom. It was just really crazy. So I went to the emergency room late one night. One of my girlfriends came and picked me up, and the doctor was like, "Well, could you be expecting?" And I was like, "No," you know. And so when he came back, he said, "Well, Miss Haney," and slapped my leg and was like, "You're expecting." And I slapped his arm back and said, "Expecting what?" And he's like, "Your mommy." Like, what? Because it was after my first time with, you know, her father. And, you know, although we had been seeing each other for about 6 months, I was just like, "What the heck?" Like, you know. And so I immediately went into, I was happy, but I was fearful to tell him, because, you know, yeah, it had been 6 months, and yes, we've known each other forever, but not in a serious type relationship, you know, situation. So I was nervous to tell him, but I was happy, and I called my parents and woke them up. And they were excited. So I had no fear about my abilities to be a mom. I was more concerned about her father and how he would take the information. So that was it. I mean, otherwise, I was excited because I love kids, have been around kids. That's what I do. So I didn't have any fear around it. So, yeah, that was my thought. James, have you had any baby scares?
None. Thanks be to God. None.
What do you think?
God is good.
At this age, what are you in your mid-30s almost? Like what?
33.
Okay, look, 33. Still kind of borderline. But how do you think you would react right now if, I mean, like your true authentic self, if you was in a healthy relationship and you were to get her pregnant, how do you think that you would handle that now?
In a healthy relationship or an unhealthy relationship, what I'm going to do is, first off, I'm a man up to my responsibilities. If I was grown enough to lay down, I'm going to be grown enough to handle what I have to handle as mm-hmm. far as my responsibilities. Now, of course, you would want it to be with somebody that you are planning on building a future with. Mm-hmm. However, I think that I would handle it the correct way as far as just being there for her and making that transition and making it a lot easier on her compared to, I know it's already hard enough on her, so I would try to make it easier on her. And mm-hmm. can you all see me okay? I know I just got a text saying I was a little blurry. Am I good?
I mean, I can see you.
Yeah, I can.
Okay.
It's kind of, I think, because of your back.
Screen. Background.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. Gotcha. Thank y'all.
Okay. Okay. Thank you guys for answering. So, Crystal, do you think that you are a traditional or a non-traditional parent?
So I think I am more of a traditional parent, mixed in with a little bit of non-traditional. And I guess it depends on what your definition of traditional. When I think of traditional, I think about my parents, my grandparents, the old school, you know, how I was raised, how my parents were raised. Mm-hmm. So I do feel that I still carry those values, but I do try to be mindful that we're living in different times now. And, you know, our children are just different. They're exposed to different things. And so in my parenting, I've had to evolve with that. So even though, you know, I think I have more of a traditional parenting style, it's not as authoritative as, you know, say my parents or grandparents were.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I guess for me, I do say that I'm definitely traditional. I'm traditional because I do feel that a lot of those morals and values and the respect that our parents and grandparents were raised with, this generation needs, and to me, more than any generation, it seems like. So as far as that, I definitely know that I'm traditional. Echoing what you said by way of, because times are different, you know, things do have to be a little non-traditional, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, for example, you know, Ava is the youngest out of all her friends, right? She'll be the last one to turn 16. And so we've been in a battle this whole school year about her riding in the car with, you know, people. And I'm okay if they have their license, more so than just their permit. But she did go... with her friends. It was her and another girl and two little boys the other day. And so I text my parents, or I called them, and I said, well, Ava is hanging out with friends, you know, and so they're going to go out to eat or whatever. She knows she's got to stay in our area right now. And so mom's like, but she's not 16. I didn't get to do that until I was 16.
Yeah.
And I said, yeah, but times are different, mom. She is 15. And, you know, fortunately, y'all didn't have to be concerned with that with me, because I was driving before I was even 16, right? So typically, if I was going with somebody, they was going to have to ride with me. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, and she's like, well, yeah, I guess. You know, she knew that she had to kind of let up off of it a little bit, but she immediately said, you know, I didn't get to do that since I was 16 and you really didn't either. But I'm like, yeah, think about it. I was driving. None of the guys was driving. It was me, you know. So I definitely understand that I have to have some give and bend by way of just times are different. Things are different now. You know what I'm saying? But I do feel like the morals and the values and the respect definitely has to stay the same, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
For sure. For sure. James, do you think you'll be a traditional or a non-traditional parent?
Definitely traditional, because as far as I'm concerned, old school was how I was brought up, and there ain't nothing wrong with old school parenting. However, I think I would be a mixture of traditional with a little bit of non-traditional too. Like, I would be a little bit lenient on myself to the point to where I would give them a little bit of freedom until they have abused it. Because at that point, once you abuse that freedom, freedom ain't always free. Freedom is never free. It comes with something. So if you are abusing it, then guess what? You can lose it as soon as you get it. So that's how I feel about it. That's how I would be.
Okay. Crystal, did you ever at any point monitor the older two social media? Do you feel like you monitor the younger one's social media more so than you did the older one? And just in general, how do you view that whole social media thing?
So the two older ones, you know, I think they were just really breaking into the social media stage, because my oldest is 21. He'll be 22 this year. So while the kids were getting on it, it was not nearly as popular then as it is now. So I did not really do a lot of monitoring on their phones. But I did take their phones every night at 8 o'clock, at 8 p.m. And first of all, they didn't get phones until they were older. You know, now kids are 8, 9 years old and they have cell phones. Malik is 9. He does not have a cell phone and he will not have a cell phone. He does have an iPad. But even my two older children, they were probably about 13 before they had cell phones. So when my oldest had a phone, they're 3 years apart. So my middle child was 10. He had an iPod Touch where he had to be connected to Wi-Fi in order to, you know, access the internet and social media and things like that. So I never was that parent to monitor because kids have multiple platforms. You know, on Instagram, they have about 3 different Instagram pages, and they're going to have some that you don't know about. So, you know, I personally, not saying this is right or wrong, but for me personally, I was not going to spin my wheels, you know, trying to find all their pages and find what they're doing, because, you know, there are influences on our children outside of the home. So, you know, they're looking for sometimes attention. They're looking to fit in. They're looking to be popular. So, you know, 9 times out of 10, they will sometimes be posting things that we will not agree with. So my approach was really just to talk to them, you know, about social media, just reminding them constantly that they are an extension of me, and reminding them that the kids that are your age, trust and believe, I probably know their parents because their parents are likely around my age. We probably went to school together, probably lived in the same neighborhoods and things like that. So trust and believe what you're posting, it will get back to me. So just make sure that what you are posting, that it's not going to be anything that I wouldn't approve of. And not to say that they still wouldn't do it, but sometimes things did get back to me. But no, I was not that parent to monitor. My approach is more so teach them what the expectations are and trust, you know, trust that they are going to follow and abide by that most of the time. And like my parents taught me, what happens in the dark will come to light.
That's right.
And it has. But yeah, I'm not so naive to think that, you know, my kids didn't have pages that I didn't know about or was posting things that I wouldn't approve of, because right. that is just something that kids do, mm-hmm. unfortunately.
Yeah, I agree.
Yep. And as far as the little one, you know, he does not have an Instagram. Like I said, it's easier to monitor him because he just have an iPad, mm-hmm. and he has to turn that over every night at 8 o'clock. So, you know, I do allow him to, get on TikTok. But as far as like Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, I just don't think those things are age appropriate for him. So I try to keep him busy, mm-hmm. With other things, and he's more so into games right now. But he does like the TikTok trends. Tevis, you've seen him do some TikTok. So he's a YouTuber and he likes TikTok. But as far as other social media platforms, yeah, we're not there yet.
Yeah. Yeah. Which is great. Okay, good. I guess for me, so Ava got her phone probably when she was maybe 11, sixth grade. Everything seems for her late, because she's always the youngest one to do anything. Mm-hmm. And the main reason is so when she went to her father's house, she could call me. That was the main reason I got her phone. And yes, it was limited. Like during the week, she wasn't able to take to school. You know, probably not really. I mean, the pandemic happened. I think I may have been letting her take it to school, maybe in the seventh grade, but she did not at all in the sixth grade. And then when she got home from school, she had to turn it over until her homework was done. And then she'd have maybe a couple hours on it before bedtime, which at that time was 8 o'clock. So then the phone was gone. And then weekends, I kind of let her have free range with it. I didn't let her get Instagram until she was age appropriate, because you have to be a certain maybe 13, 14 years old to get on Instagram. She was the last one, because everybody's mamas was letting them on there. And I did not. I was like, when you're age appropriate, you'll get to do age appropriate things, you know. So I definitely I didn't put any blocks on anything until she was looking for something one time. And, you know, how sometimes during prom season there for a while that like the porn stuff would pop up. And I think like a picture of a nude lady popped up or something. And then I kind of put some blocks on it. You know, as far as now being 15, that's the life, yeah. Right? When I say, and, you know, I know she has another page on Instagram. I am friends with her on that page. Now, I don't know if there's a third one, but I am friends with her on both of them. And as far as now, like, it was a battle that I was done fighting, because it used to be phone off, like, nothing, like, at 10 o'clock when her bedtime changed to 10 o'clock. But these kids fall asleep on the phone all the time now. They are sleeping, you know, because I do go in there and check. So most of the time they're just not up on the phone, but they are asleep on the phone. You know, every once in a while, not often, only if she gives me reason, I will check her phone. And she knows I will. So if there's anything in there, then you bust it, because they don't delete nothing at all, ever. And so I, you know, the monitoring is to me based off of her maturity, but she also knows, like, if she's 5 minutes late from curfew, which killed her the other day because she was like 4 minutes late to get in, because when I say 9 o'clock, I mean 9 o'clock. So I took her phone for 4 hours. So she didn't get her phone back until midnight. But I'm like, I shouldn't have to go to these extreme measures for you to understand that you have to be home at 9 o'clock. And the phone is the only thing that bothers her. You can take shoes, you can tell her she can't go nowhere. As long as she got that phone, she good. So that's why I know I can take it, and then I can see that she's going to do what she's supposed to do, you know. So the monitoring, like I said, I think is based off of your child and the maturity. When she was Malik's age, well, not even Malik's age, she didn't have it, but I guess about, she had an iPad, right? But then she was just kind of like games and certain, mm-hmm. too. So I do think it's safe to for parents to monitor social media for children at a certain age. But I feel the same about television. I don't feel like kids need to be in front of the TV all the time either. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I guess I've stopped monitoring to an extent, but every blue moon I will get on there and check it out. It's nothing on a regular basis. But yeah. I think it's based on each family and the maturity of their children and, you know, just the relationship. So I think for each its own.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. James, what do you know about social media and kids? I think I've heard you say you had nieces and nephews and things. So what has been your perspective on that?
Oh, man. Like, it's crazy to me. Like, my little niece, which is probably about 4 or 5, got a Snapchat. And I'm like, what are you doing on Snapchat? Like, of all, like, I'm heading to search and all at once I get a phone call. And I'm like, huh?
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, okay, cool. But, but for me, I would probably say that for me, I would probably take the stance that my parents took for me, which is you never know when we're going to check it. So always make sure your house is in order. I'm like, Jesus, you never know the day nor the hour that I saw up. Just make sure your house is in order whenever I decide to pop up. So, and sometimes everything's in order when she would pop up, because you never know when they are going to do it. But if they ever felt the need to, they would always do it.
So right.
That's probably the stance that I would take.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay. Thank you guys for sharing.
So, Tevis, if I can interject something right there. You know, it's almost like I have two sets of kids, you know, because I have the 18 and 21 year old, and, you know, which are now young adults. And now I have the 9 year old. And, you know, honestly, I feel like I approach parenting a little bit differently now because I've experienced it 2 times before.
Right.
So I do find myself being a little bit more lenient with Malik in certain areas, and not being so authoritative, you know, like old school is like, you do what I say, not as I do, you know, but today I don't really believe in that. You don't just do as I say, you also do as I do. Like I have to set an example. I can't just say you do as I say and then but I do something different, because kids don't just learn by what you say, they learn by what they see and what they experience and what they are exposed to.
That's
right. So you know, old school would say get your in there and wash those dishes now, take that garbage out. But for me, I say take the garbage out, please. Wash the dishes, please. You know, like asking and saying, please. And so my significant other, when we first met, he did not understand that. He said, why are you asking your children to do certain things that, they're supposed to do? And I said, because you teach by example. Because if I don't, you know, by me saying, go wash the dishes, please. Or, you know, it's time for you to take the garbage out, please. That is teaching them how to talk to other people.
Yeah, for sure.
You know, if I say, get your in there and wash those dishes, what do you think that's teaching them?
Right.
So I think a lot, you know, the parenting of back in the day, you know, kind of stemmed from our foremothers and forefathers, because you know, that just wasn't tolerated. You just do what your parents tell you to do. But I do feel that kids deserve respect.
Absolutely.
And just because they're children and just because we're adults, and people can disagree with me all day long, but I'm telling you, I have two sets of kids and I see the difference. I've done it both ways. And, you know, I feel like, you know, that's something that you know, we have to look at, or we should mm-hmm. look at, because this is the way we were raised and this is the parenting that we're used to and we feel like we turned out okay. Right. Well, some of us have some mental health issues that we don't necessarily want to deal with mm-hmm. or want to acknowledge. Mm-hmm. And whether we want to admit it or not, some of that stems from how we were raised.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
And so we need to think about that as we're raising our children and as we are disciplining our children, that they have feelings mm-hmm. and they are learning and they are developing. And, you know, if we're yelling and cussing at them, in which I have done that, mm-hmm. I try not to now, but mm-hmm. full transparency, mm-hmm. I have done that. And one of my kids is an angry kid. Mm-hmm. You know, and he's the one that got yelled at the most, mm-hmm. you know, so I see that the mental health impacts, mm-hmm. you know, I had a conversation with him yesterday and it hurts my heart, you know, because we feel about him mm-hmm. a certain way. You know, he's the one that got hands put on him the most, mm-hmm. you know, those things impact our children mentally and emotionally. And so, unfortunately, my two older kids were the guinea pigs.
Yeah.
And so now that I have Malik, you know, it's a different type of parenting because I see what that did to my older kids. Yeah. And I think there was a comment.
Uh-huh. I think Michelle said that's the exact conversation her and her husband have.
Yes.
Yeah. And I'm assuming Michelle is speaking about when you were saying how we speak to our kids and our expectations. Mm-hmm. For them, you know, asking instead of telling or demanding.
Yes.
And I echo everything that you've said. And, you know, for me and my parents, we were like, you know, me and Cobra and then Quentin, like Malik is with, you know, Jalen and Trenton. So they had two sets, right? And Quentin was a good kid, but he still got away with whatever. He could do whatever. Yeah. But he says that he had two sets of parents because I was like, but I was on both of my brothers. Like, that's just kind of how it was. But with me just having one child, right, I am doing all that you just said with one.
Absolutely.
Child, right? Because although I've worked with children for 23 years, the conscious discipline, the gentle parenting, you know, all of these things, ACEs, wasn't talked about early on in my academic learning and training, right? I'm sure that it was there, but not relevant like it is now, you know? And so with Ava, who my child, my baby, my love, you know, I think back and I've admitted and acknowledged to her some of those times that you got in trouble, like it wasn't worth that energy that I gave it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Did it a different way, you know, and I apologize for that, but I am now being intentional on retraining her mind. Started seeing like her strongness with her peers, and it was a strongness when it wasn't always warranted, you know what I'm saying? So, you know, as she's growing and developing and she's hearing me talk and seeing me grow and change, she's starting to, right? But again, I have a different, my frontal lobe is fully developed. Hers is not.
So
constant action, constant repeating. And I'm saying to her, when you have kids, we're going to do this. We're going to do that. You know what I'm saying? Because I don't want her to feel like you got to always pop or spank or scream or yell. You know? I used to say I would never yell because my mom was a yeller. Now, she didn't yell. Scold us more so because her house wasn't clean. Y'all need to wash these dishes. Why your bed's not made? So she was yelling about that kind of stuff. So I feel, because that's leading us into the next question, that parenting now is different than it was for our parents because times are changed, right? We kids are in the house and not outside, and you know, kids are learning things quicker because of the defensive versus before. And there's so many young parents raising children, kids raising kids. So the dynamic of maturity is different. Like I can even say with some of Ava's friends that are single moms also, And some of them are like 10 years younger than me, you know, and our kids are the same age. And there's a difference in the maturity, right, in how we've raising the kids. So I do think that it's different, but I do feel like respect, moral values, need to, right? So that is my outlook on that. James, I'm not sure if you can answer that question. Do you feel like parenting now would be harder than it was when you were a kid, or, you know, conversations you had with your parents?
Definitely, because of social media. I feel like now it's like 10 times harder to be a parent. It would be 10 times harder to be a parent because not only are you having to watch what goes on in your home, but you're having to watch what your kids are posting online, what they're doing online. You have to worry about bullying, the police brutality. You have to worry about that. You're having to worry about all these different issues that we really didn't have to worry about as much as we was growing up. And I got a question for Crystal real quick. She said that it was a different type of parenting that she's doing now compared to with her oldest children. Do you feel that your oldest children kind of hold resentment towards the younger one because he is getting more of the gentle parenting compared to the other?
Good question.
Absolutely. There is definitely some resentment. And my middle one, the one that's 18, he's still at home. And so the oldest one, he verbalizes it, you know, sometimes. And I know the two older ones talk about it, but the oldest one doesn't really act out on it. I think even though there's some resentment, I think he is mature enough to understand the why. The 18-year-old holds a lot of resentment. So much so that he compares himself to a 9-year-old. You know, even just recently, our garbage day is on Thursdays. So we had two garbage cans out front last Thursday. Well, when I went out Friday morning, only one of the garbage cans was pulled back to the side of the house. And I asked him, I said, why did you leave the second garbage can? He said, oh, well, I thought Malik would have gotten it. But you're 18 and you took both of them out there. Why would, you know, it's just like he feels because he has to do something that Malik should have to do it as well. And he says all the time, well, he get more than me, or, you know, I didn't have this at this age. And some of that is true because I was in a, you know, I was in a very different financial position when they were younger.
Right.
So things that I wanted to do for my older kids, you know, I mean, they had a great life, you know, they traveled and things like that. But Malik does definitely have the better end of the stick, for sure. So to answer your question, yes, there is definitely some resentment there. So I do spend a lot of time reassuring them, you know, that I love them all the same. I've done the best that I could with what I had, you know, at the time. But, you know, unfortunately, you know, some of that is my fault. You know, I did have kids out of wedlock. I did have kids before I started my career when I was broke and on government assistance, you know, so a lot of that was my fault. I brought them into this world under those conditions. And so, you know, the only thing I can do is apologize and keep it real with them and acknowledge my shortcomings. But some of that, they're going to have to probably seek therapy and work through those things on their own. So, but yeah, there's definitely some resentment there.
Yeah. I get that. I get that. I don't know that, you know, one thing that, you know, with Ava and being the only child with me, and she has a stepbrother and a half sister with her father. You know, one thing that I think hurts me about her, I do wish that she had a sibling here, right? Yeah. Because I think that it kind of would have mellowed some things out, because I think because I am she's the only child, and it's just being me and her pretty much the whole time. Sometimes I felt like my expectations were so high of her that I had to say, remember, she's the kid. Remember, she's this age. Remember, she's, you know, so giving her room to make mistakes, because she's growing and she's learning, and we were allowed to make mistakes, right? So I had to learn to give grace, but I was so fearful that I didn't want her to mess up and then it be a reflection on me, right? Being a single mom. So I had to release that, you know, from myself. Is Crystal on, or did something happen?
Yeah, she's here.
Okay. So yeah, I had to release that. So do you all believe it still takes a village? James, what do you think? Do you believe it still takes a village to reach out?
Definitely. Mm-hmm. Because I think that's a lot of the problems that we are having nowadays, mm-hmm. is we have taken away that village. Mm-hmm. Back in the day, you could do something wrong, get whooped by everybody in the neighborhood, and then still get whooped once you got home, mm-hmm. by your parents.
Right.
I still got home when you got home by your parents. Mm-hmm. But now in the day and times that we're living in, it's a thing of, you better not correct my child in front of when I'm not there.
Mm-hmm.
But yet and still, if you really look back at it, mm-hmm. that might be a lot of the reason why we're in the situation that we're in, because we've taken away that village.
Yeah. I agree. I think that having a village is very important. And although I don't want anyone physically discipline my child, only because,
right,
you know, it ain't like it used to be. It ain't like, let me just whoop you and, you know, a pop and go on. Some people can be extreme and it could cause harm in a lot of ways, right?
Correct.
But I don't mind anyone verbally disciplining my child the correct way. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Do that. Like, I give everybody permission to do that the correct way. I feel like, you know, when I hear about things like a girl getting raped on a subway and people are watching, like, what? How do y'all let that happen? Mm-hmm. Or you think about the George Floyd situation, and I know those are police officers and everybody's scared, but what? Like, I don't know that I could be in a situation where I'm even watching a woman get beat or even a fight that I could, like, stand back and watch. You know what I'm saying? So I say that. I know that's kind of, like, extreme, but I feel like if people weren't so fearful of dying or folks getting mad at them, that it would, the village would be stronger. You know what I'm saying? And our communities would be stronger, but nobody wants you to correct their children. Even if you know your child, and I know ain't no kid bad, but even if you know your child is making some wrong choices and you see your neighbor's kid, you're going to be scared to say something because you're afraid that your life is going to be taken or that the parents are going to get mad at you for correcting the kid, right? It's like that fear that we have now. But I think that villages were important, and not just for discipline, but for knowledge, for wisdom,
thanks,
for a conversation, yeah, for growth, for maturity. Like, hey, let's, you know, let's go cut some grass and rake some yards, you know what I'm saying, and get a little extra money. Now you're afraid to let strangers do it because what do they want? You know, are they going to try to take something from me? You know, so I do think a village is important, and I'm sure a lot of people have a village, most people in some aspect, but it just kind of looks different than it did back in the day, if that makes sense. What do you think, Crystal?
Yeah, I definitely agree. It definitely take a village, mostly because our kids don't always hear us.
Right.
You know, we can tell our kids the sky is blue and the sky really is blue, but because it's coming from us, they don't want to hear it, but they receive from other people.
Mm-hmm.
So your village, you know, consists of teachers, coaches, neighbors, friends, family. So, you know, even children that are coming from a two-parent household, they still need a village outside of their parents. And a lot of times kids don't feel comfortable going to their parents about certain things because of fear of disappointing their parents, or because they feel that their parents have a certain view on things that may not align with their view. So village is definitely, definitely important. And I feel like the bigger a child's village is, the more positive impacts it will have on their growth and evolution.
I agree. I mentioned gentle parenting and ACEs and things of that sort. A few minutes ago. Crystal, what is your perspective on gentle parenting?
So, you know, with gentle parenting, there is no belief in, you know, like punishment versus reward. And, you know, in gentle parenting, you know, there is no what we call whoopings, mm-hmm. you know, so you spare the rod. Mm-hmm. So while I do, you know, I know that it is definitely evidence-based.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I think that, you know, we could pick some things out and take some things away that are very good for parenting. But honestly, I don't feel that one way of parenting is better than the other.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so you have your gentle parenting, and then before that was a thing, you had your whole authoritative, mm-hmm. authoritarian, permissive, and I think uninvolved were like the four major parenting styles before gentle parenting became a thing.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I think you can pick something positive mm-hmm. from each one of those parenting styles, and then you can pick something negative
mm-hmm.
from each of those parenting styles, because each of them are going to impact children in a different way.
Mm-hmm.
While I think we can really take some things away from gentle parenting, you know, such as the asking mm-hmm. and not so much telling a child what to do, giving children choices. You know, back in our day, we didn't have choices. Mm-hmm. You know, we did what our parents told us to do. We ate what our parents told us to eat. We asked to be excused from the table. You know, we didn't have choices. But gentle parenting pushes choices.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's a good thing. You yeah. know, I think it can teach kids a lot of things, to think for themselves, to be better decision makers, critical thinkers. So I don't think just one parenting style. That's why at the beginning of the conversation, when you asked me, am I traditional? And I said, I'm a little bit traditional and non-traditional, because I think I take something away from each five of those parenting styles to parent my child now.
Mm-hmm.
So I think, you know, gentle parenting can be good, but I think it can also cause some problems, you know, with children.
Yeah.
You know, due to the lack of discipline.
Right.
Yeah.
I, you know, so like you said, it's definitely evidence-based. And I know that it talks about, you know, it focuses on like raising happy and confident children.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to say the parenting style is compared to like four, I want to say it was like four elements: empathy, respect, understanding, and I think boundaries, right?
Yeah, it was. Mm-hmm.
So while it wants to focus on those qualities because we want to raise our children to be compassionate and learn boundaries, which my baby doesn't have boundaries. We've created boundaries since she's gotten older. But when I say boundaries, she didn't really start being mouthy until she became a teenager. So in that, that trying to grow and learn phases, you know, certain things were like triggers for me that made me want to like, girl, you know what I'm saying? So, you know, and then as she started maturing, she had boundaries. Don't talk with your hands, even if she's not in my face. But I have to say, scoot back. Cause I talk with my hands when I'm happy, mad, sad, or glad. So we're gonna have to find an equal ground on that, you know. But I feel like being a parent, and again, you have three children, and you know they all three have different personalities, just like brothers all have different personalities, right? Something may work with Quentin that absolutely would not have worked with Cobra or even me, right?
Yeah.
Work with me, like my daddy, he never had to do anything but raise his voice at me because he doesn't ever raise his voice and I'm crying like he done beat the life out of me, right? Even now, I'm cringe, I don't cry no more, but it makes me cringe. So I feel like, you know, we have to pick and choose based upon our children's personality. Not a child that needed to be physically disciplined. Like, for real, she was not. You know what I mean? And I do feel like that kind of took away from her confidence because she really didn't. And that's why I said I had to acknowledge and admit that she just wasn't a child that needed to do that. But because I was raised with that authority, I did the best that I could with what I knew, right?
Right.
But as soon as I started educating myself and learning, I completely stopped it. Like, completely.
Yeah. You know?
And so, praying that it wasn't too much too late, but I did feel like, not just with me, but, you know, situations happened in school that I had to help build that confidence. But I took some of that away. So I think, you know, there should be a lenience with parenting. But I also feel like when you need to be stern, you need to be stern. She ain't gonna walk around this house stomping, slamming doors, and throwing whole temper tantrums, and you don't expect my voice to get stern or even to raise a little bit, right? Like, things is just not okay. So I think based upon your children, being in tune with them and their personalities will kind of help. But I also don't think you need to match anger with anger. You know, she knows now, if I say I don't want to hear it, not right now, and she keep going and I look up, she knows she better get on out of this room. You know what I mean? Those are boundaries that we've had to create. So James, do you know a lot about gentle parenting?
I know of it. And for me, I feel like I would take from each style of parenting. And what I would do is, just as every child is not the same, you're not going to be able to parent your child the same in every situation. So some situations may cause me to be a gentle parent. Some situations may call me to be a little more stern. But in each situation, I would let them know that I'm doing this out of love, not out of anger, but because of what you've done, that every action has a reaction.
So I had asked a couple of my cousins and friends, like, some questions that maybe their kids have asked them, and their children range from probably 8 to 13. And one of them was, how do you handle it when your child, because I know we're kind of, we logged in late too, didn't we? One of them was like, how do we handle if our child tells us that we're mean? Like, have your kids said, mama, you mean, or that's mean? So when they say that, what do you say?
Well, just the other day, Malik, he was upset and he was like, why are you yelling at me? You hurt my feelings and you're being mean to me. And I tell him, I am not being mean to you. And really, I wasn't yelling, you know, but I was being firm because sometimes they take your kindness for your weakness. And so I do check myself, though, you know, when he says that. And even Jalen, that's my 18-year-old. Just this week, you know, he told me that I've been mean to him several times this week. And I had to check myself, you know, because when we go through things personally, as parents, then it impacts the people around us, whether it be our friends, our, you know, significant others, our kids, our coworkers, or whatever the case may be. And so, you know, I have been frustrated about different little things this week and, you know, may have been short with him. And so I had to check myself and just go back and apologize. But again, you know, it goes back to the old school. They're not hearing that, you know, boy, you better shut your mouth and go in there and sit down. But that's not the right thing to do because they have feelings. So when Malik tell me that I'm being mean, like I have to check myself and really acknowledge if I'm being mean. And if I don't feel like I'm being mean, then reassure him, listen, mommy is not being mean, but this is what I need from you. And kind of explaining. Again, old school, you don't explain nothing. Kids don't deserve no explanation. But we can't parent like, I mean, we can. I'm not going to tell anybody what they can't do. But, you know, that does hurt their feelings and it makes them feel that what they're feeling is not valid. And we don't want our kids to grow up, you know, we don't want to teach them inadvertently that you don't matter or your feelings don't matter. And so when we dismiss them, that's what we're teaching them. So we have to think about what we're teaching them directly and indirectly. So I don't get my panties in a wad when Malik tell me I'm being mean. I check myself, I evaluate myself. And if I need to apologize or, you know, and that's another thing. Back in the day, my parents never apologized to me about anything. But I have no problem apologizing to my children because guess what? If you don't, then you're teaching them that they don't have to apologize. So he definitely at times tell me, I mean, now Trent, the oldest one never does, but those two younger ones, definitely they, you know, and I just have to check myself, you know, and make sure and make adjustments or apologies where I need to. And I've had to apologize to Jalen this week and tell him, you know, Jalen, I apologize. You know, it wasn't personal. It, you know, wasn't intended, you know, for you, you know, you just got the brunt of it at that time. But I had to apologize because I didn't want him walking around feeling a certain type of way because his mom is being mean to him. I'm not perfect.
For sure.
So yeah.
And that's what I told her. And I said, well, that's his feelings. And that's because it hurt her feelings too, right? That he said that.
Thank you, Michelle.
And so I just told her, I said, you know, those are his feelings. So just acknowledge them and be okay with apologizing, right? We're here. Ava has, I don't think that she's ever told me that I'm mean, but the thing now is you're doing too much. And even my friend said, you're doing too much. Tell your friends, I don't like them now, you know, and she looked like, you know, but then in my stuff, you know, and I thought, dang, am I doing too much? Like, your curfew was at 9, and I know y'all are all new drivers, so y'all don't know nothing about trying to drive fast, you know what I'm saying? So that's more reason that you all need to leave in ample time wherever you're from. I don't want them to rush, so don't y'all feel like y'all have to rush. Ava had a curfew. Y'all should have assured y'all left in time. So when she doesn't, guess what? I'm taking the phone away. And then, y'all all are punished because y'all can't talk to Ava, but you all hold each other accountable, right? So I did kind of feel some kind of way that she said, that they said. I was like, well, whatever. But they all want to talk to me and be cool with me. You know what I'm saying? But I'm doing too much. Well, if it has to do with y'all's safety, I'll keep doing too much. You know what I'm saying? So I definitely get that. I wanted to ask one last question. It may put us over a few minutes, but how vital is a two-parent home? How vital do you think a two-parent home? Because we were both single parents. And although you were married to your youngest son's father, you know, for a time prior to him and now after him, you've been a single parent. So how do you feel like things would have been different if you had a man in the home the whole time? And is that, and I'm not just saying a man, because you could have had a man in the house with you, but an active man, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's almost like a couple questions in that one, but
yeah. Yeah.
What you think about that?
So I've had it both ways. You know, my two older children, their father never lived in the home. So they were the product of a single parent home. Malik, you know, his father was in the home. We were married for 8 years. There is a big difference. There is a big difference. Children need their mother and their father. Now, it's best, you know, to have both parents in the home. You know, I've seen a lot of positive impacts from that. But if both parents can't be in the home, both parents being very active, there is a clear difference in Trenton and Jalen because of the lack of presence of their dad in their lives compared to Malik. Because even though Malik, his dad and I are no longer married, his dad is very active, very consistent. And you can tell, like, I can tell the difference. You know, you always hear growing up that mothers are nurture and fathers are nature. And children need both, because sometimes they need that nurturing, that love and care, but sometimes they need that nature also. And then as single moms, and to the single dads out there, because there are single fathers holding it down. We have to be the mother and the father, and that's very difficult. And again, it has negative impacts on our children. And so, you know, my two older boys, especially the middle one, you know, have some trust issues that's spilling over into their relationships. You know, they have, especially the middle one, some issues with neglect. My oldest one too. But he chose to, again, he's a little bit older, a little bit more mature, you know, finding his way. So, you know, he doesn't necessarily wear his emotions on his sleeve like the middle one does. But, you know, not to go into a long explanation, but I personally believe from my personal experience, my significant other, he was a single father, and not single father that had his kids part-time. Like, he was the mother and the father. He raised his children without the mothers, three of them. So, and I see the issues that they have, for the lack of having their mother full time. And so, like, my kids have some daddy issues, his kids have some mommy issues. So it is very vital for, you know, younger people coming up through the ranks having children today. I wish I had known better then. For one, you need to really vet the person that you're having children with. I didn't think about that. You know, my older boy's dad, he's a recovering drug addict and a recovering alcoholic. That's hereditary. So, and to be transparent, both of my boys smoke marijuana. You know, I mean, they're not like dope heads or anything, but they do smoke. And that it is concerning. I mean, they both, they have jobs, they work, you know, they're good young men, they're productive. But that is a part of their life. And, you know, I take concern with that because my father was a drug addict. I have three brothers that are alcoholics. Mm-hmm. And so they have it on both sides of their family. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So I say to the younger people that are still out here wanting to have children, you need to vet the mother to be or the father to be. You need to know their mental health history. You need to know their health history. You need to know their family's health history, because a lot of this stuff is hereditary. And if possible, and there are some people that choose to be single parents, and that's okay. Not knocking anybody, but you know, just from what I've seen and what I've experienced, it is very vital for kids to have both of their parents be very, very active. And it's not to say that kids that come from two parent homes can't do some messed up things or grow up to be messed up, because there's other influences outside of your home.
Yeah.
Your kids are on the bus. Mm-hmm. They're on the playground. They're at school. They're at the skating rink. They're at football games. I mean, there's, you know, social media, there's music. Mm-hmm. So there's so many more influences, and that's why it's so much more important to have both of those parents. Be not one being part-time, but I mean really two full-blown active parents.
Yeah. I agree. I grew up with friends that had both parents in their home, and they was like buck wild and all over the place, right? Mm-hmm. I also, from my experience being a single mom pretty much the whole time, these 15 years, Ava's father, prior to COVID, they seen each other every other weekend, consistently, but it wasn't a lot of the in-between, right? Mm-hmm. There was not, even though I encouraged and tried to get him to call, he's not a communicator. He knows that, he acknowledges that, he admits that at this point, But it did cause some things in her, and as she's been going to therapy this last year, she has trust issues that still And it has even trickled over with me, which is devastating and hurtful, because I done been single day, ain't missed nothing. You know what I'm saying? Like, why are you doubting me? Well, it's not that. Well, I need, I want to know that you know that I got your back, friend, right? And she's like, I know that. And I'm like, but what is it? There's like a fear, So in her getting to the age of where she's interested in boys and dating, and people were like, why are you letting her talk to boys? Well, for one, boys were my very best friends. I'd rather have a boyfriend, guy friends, than girlfriends, right? But I want to be able to teach her while she's in the home with me, right? I don't want to wait until she's in college and I can't support and see, right?
Yeah.
Now I can start teaching her nuggets. Like, you had these group of boys at Hillsboro that were all knuckleheads, whereas now you're here in Antioch and you've met these great ones that see you.
Mm-hmm.
The difference. They seen what they seen on the outside, but not your heart. You know what I'm saying? They were like fair weather friends, guys. Mm-hmm. And so, I don't want her to fall into a trap of dating guys because they acknowledge your beauty on the outside.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So I need you to know that you're more than that. I need you to know what trust is. And although you got this weird trust, your daddy loves you unconditionally. I know that confidently, but our love just looks differently. And that's okay.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody ain't gonna love you like your mama does. You know what I'm saying? So it's been a lot of conversations. I feel like if it wasn't her father, if I would have found a wonderful man early on in her life that grew up with her, that even our dynamic in the discipline and having somebody to bounce ideas and thoughts and would have helped me in raising her. You know what I'm saying? And
absolutely.
As she's older now, my prayer is when God blesses me with that person, I want him to be such a wonderful example of a man and a husband for her so that as she gets older, she can say, you know, I want a husband or a boyfriend that treats me like my mom's husband does. You know what mm-hmm. I'm saying?
Absolutely.
Now it's changed because she's older, you know? So mm-hmm. I do think that it would have helped. And even with Justin not being in the house, if there was more conversations where there was a comfort being able to say, hey, this is what's going on with Ava, share your thoughts. We didn't have that at first. Now we do, but we didn't have it. And it does mean a lot now, but mm-hmm. we didn't have it as much as we did before, because I don't know why, right? I don't know if we had mad about each other. I don't really know what it was, honestly, but I'm thankful that we've gotten to that place now, but I wish that I would have had it, you know, a long time ago. So again, I've seen two parents, you know, my friends that are married now that have children, and they're in terrible marriages. And I'm like, that's not healthy, because the kids, mm-hmm. that's not healthy. They would much rather you be super active, separated, than in the house arguing or not sleeping together or whatever y'all are doing. You know what I'm saying? So I think that it just depends on the dynamics and the healthiness. Because you can have somebody in the house, but it don't mean that it's a good fit, you know,
for you.
So that's a good question. That's a good question. But anyway, I know we are over like 11 minutes. Sorry.
But this was a good discussion.
It was a good discussion.
Part two definitely needed. Part two.
For sure. But thank you, Crystal, for
thank you guys.
And being a part. And again, we are who we are, and we do the best we can until we know better, and then we can do better, right?
Absolutely. So, I believe that.
Again, like I always say, forward moving and always have a growth mindset, and you know, life will continue to get better for sure.
Absolutely.
Any last words, Crystal?
No, just thank you guys again for the opportunity to share my experiences and views on parenting. And, you know, hopefully something I said resonated with someone today. And you all just be blessed.
Thank you. James, take us out, buddy.
All right. So as we always say, sometimes our disappointments are nothing more than God's appointments, meaning sometimes what we're looking at is bad. God is only turning it around for our good. Stay blessed, and be a blessing to someone else. We appreciate you all watching on tonight. Tune in tomorrow, 12 midnight. We will be dropping the podcast. Have a happy Valentine's Day. And we will see you all next week, where we will have a very special episode for you all next week. Stay tuned. Love y'all. Peace.
Have a good night.
Bye, guys.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to the Real Talk Monday podcast. Now it's time to hear from the purpose pusher, Andrea Puri, with your weekly words of affirmation.
Everything I need is within me or within reach. And I can do anything. I can do anything. I can do anything. I want you to repeat that every morning. Every single morning you wake up, you got to say, I can do anything. I can do all things through Christ that strengthen me. And your scripture for this month is Psalm 16:11. You will show me the way of life, granting me joy, your peace, your presence, and your pleasures of living within you forever. Psalm 16:11. Love ya. And these are affirmations from Andrea Puri, your purpose pusher, pushing you into purpose with prayer and affirmation. Love ya.